Dear listener, we accept the fact that you have to sacrifice a whole hour to listen to whatever it is we're about to do wrong, and what we will do is wrong. You see us the way you want to see us, in the simplest of terms, in the most convenient definitions, but we found out that each one of us is a brain.
An athlete.
A princess.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Geek Movie Club.
Hello and welcome to Geek Movie Club, episode 6, the podcast that is commiserating the loss of Justin Bieber's anal cherry. I am David McVeigh.
I am Justin Bieber's anal cherry, aka Richard Gray.
And I'm...
And that's David Longo.
Next boy, week
we're out of sync here. It's been a while since we've done this show.
Let's start that again. I'm Justin Bieber.
I'm Miley Cyrus.
I'm an enema.
Okay, so let's just jump straight into the big news this week, which is, of course, Justin Bieber finally got arrested for something. Yay!
Was it for his music?
Apparently not. That wasn't a crime enough. But according to this report,
he'd already
it says
retired,
here,
didn't he?
He came out immediately and said he didn't. That was something else. I don't know what that was all about. But anyway,
he retired from being a douche, though.
He was arrested in Florida this week. I mean, what a way to come back to a show. I just think this is brilliant. He was arrested for a DUI.
Yep.
Apparently had narcotics on him because he had prescription medication, which was not prescribed
to him.
A DUI
that's being a douche under the influence?
That's the one. Right, and then resisting arrest. And I actually have here the transcript of the arresting report. So when they talk about resisting arrest, what they actually meant was, so this is from IO9 has actually posted up the transcript. And basically, when he was stopped, his response to the police officer. So this is, I mean, I don't know about you. If you get stopped by a cop, all right, is this how you would respond? His first reaction is, why did you stop me? That's a fair enough question, okay? Police officer explained that he was stopped because he was drag racing.
As you do.
And the Justin Bieber's response to that is, why the fuck are you doing this? Yeah. Okay, and then as it went on, he said, what the fuck did I do and why did you stop me? I think it was pretty clear why he stopped him. And then he got, I ain't got no fucking weapons. Why do you have to search me and what the fuck is this about?
Right? He's like, I ain't got any weapons.
And then...
Don't check the truck. Because usually you tell them what you do have, right? By saying,
exactly.
I don't.
So the police officer then...
Justin, imagine if you was arrested with like 4 machine guns and like a rack of grenades.
But he's got a few dollars, he can fight the case.
What I love though is the fact the police officer had him spread eagle on the car and said to him, actually said, do not take your hands off the car again, otherwise you'll be considered resisting. So Justin Bieber immediately turned around and said, what the fuck are you doing? So the police officer immediately grabbed him, put cuffs on him, and informed him he was being arrested for resisting arrest. Now, the worst part of all of this is that he was put forward to the courts, and he was put up for bail. And I find it completely disgusting that for somebody who is as rich as Justin Bieber, who is, as Richard, I think, pointed out, a massive flight risk, was put up for a bail of $2,500.
Now, look, you know, whenever stories go, as someone who used to do law, I know that, you know, like circumstances change and everything. So we don't know the full facts and what was, you know.
This is all alleged.
This is all alleged. What's interesting, though, is that he has taken...
He's allegedly a fuckwit.
Yeah. All news stories should lead with that. It's like, alleged fuckwit Justin Bieber was arrested today. he's taken to Twitter, of course.
Of course.
Where in the last 24 hours or so, he said things like, in all caps, mind you, you are all worthy no matter what anyone says. Be strong. God is with us all. My believers changed my life. I will forever be grateful. He doesn't know how to use full stops. He uses like little greater than signs instead.
Right.
But
wait, yeah, he does. So if you read that, it's like...
It says, you are all worthy no matter what anyone says. Greater than, be strong. God is with us all. Greater than, my believers changed my life, which is greater greater than I will be grateful forever. So the least, the lesser of his comments there is I will be grateful. So and the biggest one though, admittedly, is you are all worthy no matter what anyone says. So that's
until he spits on them.
Until he spits on them. He's also compared himself to Michael Jackson by posting.
What, he's black?
He fucks kids.
Well, allegedly.
Allegedly. Alleged. Alleged kitty fucker, yeah, Justin Bieber. No, but he's posted a photo of him sitting on the hood of a car waving.
Wait, I should
to one where Michael Jackson's doing the same thing. He just posted this. So I think the point he's trying to make is that celebrities are harassed, you know, for no good reason. But I think inadvertently, you're right. I think he's just called himself a kitty fucker.
Yeah. I just want to be clear for us, just for our own legal. Yeah, Michael Jackson was also allegedly fucking.
That's what I was. That's actually true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's yeah. all alleged.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we are not accusing anybody of anything.
The
and
only
he was
thing
the king of
Michael Jackson did, the only thing Michael Jackson did on alleged that we can prove was hold a baby over one.
That's true. And the only thing we can say about Justin Bieber that it's not alleged is he spat on his fans, because we have video of that.
And he
happening.
Had a monkey at one point.
Which one?
What? maybe it was Bubbles.
Maybe Bieber was Bubbles.
But I'm forever blowing bubbles.
But Michael Jackson actually made good music, though. That's the difference.
Oh, that's true. And that's not alleged. That's true.
That's fact.
That's fact, yeah. Now, the other thing I would just say, and I can't remember his name because I don't have the report
it's
in front
Justin
of me.
Bieber.
No. His friend, the rapper, I forget.
Oh,
what,
Lil Twist? No, it's the other one.
Lil Twist.
No, it's not Lil Twist. It's the other one.
It's one of them. Anyway, he's still in jail, apparently. Yeah, so the black guy still goes to jail.
Yeah, of course.
And that's not alleged. Apparently that's true. So go figure. Anyway, so...
Is it Lil Twist or Lil Wayne?
It's not Lil Wayne. Must be Lil Twist.
I don't know.
I don't care.
It's a Lil someone. Lil Orphan Annie.
Lil Orphan Annie.
These are the musicians of the people, guys.
Now, interesting point of all this is that allegedly, now I don't have the story in front of me, but I did hear that as soon as he got out on bail, most people would go home and reflect on what they did and so forth. Apparently, allegedly, Bieber went out nightclubbing with his father that night.
Mm. So, how else do you celebrate?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like it's with his dad.
He goes out and goes, I fucked the legal system, yay!
So, well,
apparently. Now, you apparently had another story.
I have a story. If there's two things that we in this room, like Dave Longo's been making some Lego next to me. And
that's a pretty cool car.
And there's two things that I love in life, which is I love Lego and I love blowjobs.
Those are two good things to love.
Porn star Christy Mack has offered a blowjob in exchange for a Lego creation.
Oh, wow. All right.
She has tweeted out, whoever builds me the best Lego creation to put in my house gets a blowjob.
hey, can we put this on the internet? It's pretty cool. This car, it's cool. It's
hey, Christy, I'm building a Lego city.
I built Lord of the Rings Lego.
you've got a month. You got till the 1st of March to get your creation in. And she says the response on Twitter has been overwhelming.
Putting your creation is that the euphemism we used today?
I love her response to this, though. She said, people are calling this brilliant self-marketing. I'm calling it, I'm just a whore that likes Legos.
This could be some cross-promotion for the Lego film, right? We haven't seen it yet.
We found the title for this week's show.
Oh, man, that is awesome. That is awesome.
Repeat the title.
The title for this week's show has to be Whore Who Likes Legos.
I don't think iTunes will allow us to have it, but we'll put it anyway.
Yeah,
what the
why
hell?
Not?
We'll end up with lots of stars in our titles. You know, but it happens.
Oh, well, actually, we'll call it Blowing for Lego.
Blowing for Lego. There you go. I think there you go. And I think we'll have to have a picture of her as our picture for this week.
I think
Thank
so.
God they always tell you, like, you know, that not for kids, Lego, hey, because you might get... Choked in your mouth, right?
Well, yeah. don't clear that screen. Don't clear that screen.
Oh,
don't clear
that screen. You're right.
There you go. Use that one.
Oh, I'm going to.
So I've got videos queued up there.
Can anyone enter this competition? Or is it?
I don't know.
I think you have to have a penis by the sounds of.
Yeah. So what
we should do a Kickstarter and get like.
Can we have an image of Christy Mack?
Let's bring her up. I wonder if a woman won the creation. What would happen there? I mean, is Christy Mack up for that?
Oh, hello.
Yeah, that's Christy Mack. So. She likes her Lego, apparently.
She likes her tattoos and her Lego.
She also enjoys long strolls along the beach.
It would be amazing if it's like, and the winner of the competition is another porn
star. Speaking of Lego.
she suggested something wonderful, like a life-sized unicorn.
Is that a video of her? Bring this video up.
No, that's just her with some duct tape.
And not even stuck on. It's just a roll.
It's just a roll of duct tape.
So the duct tape games begin.
I think we may have to source out some Christy Mac video to.
I think so. I think if you can find any 3D videos, we can bring that up on our next TV.
My new 3D TV.
Relentless now, action.
Speaking of Lego, we should mention very quickly. It's not movie related, but since when is this?
Do you
show
reckon
ever...
the producers of the Lego movie will go, "Hey, look what we just did"?
Martin Miller lighting up, right? Come on. Speaking of that Lego movie, the Lego movie figure sets have come out. So,
we've
been collecting like mad. We've got a bunch of them sitting here on the table.
I've got like 10 of them. So
I've got, eight of them sitting here. So,
And we've also got Dave Longo's beautiful Lego creation here. It's a car, which he's given wings.
Can you guys hear that, Lego?
We can hear it falling apart.
And the person who's not getting a blowjob from Christy Mack. Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I really want this blowjob.
He's busily creating over there.
So I wonder what the story is. I mean, let's say one of us won. Do we have to fly over? To, like, it's,
Might be cheaper to fly her here.
We have to build a Lego plane and go there.
What was that?
It might be cheaper to fly her here.
Yeah. We'll get her on a budget airline, get her over here, and we can...
I think it's got to be restricted to... Yeah.
Probably.
American,
probably.
Yeah.
That's terrible. But you know what? Good for her.
You could always
good for
also,
her.
You could
if that's
also,
what she wants to do, that's, you know.
I think there should be more of this.
I'm all in favor of it.
Because sometimes, yeah, we're
is
all...
Harrison Ford, like, anyone come up with a good idea for a new Indiana Jones film and I'll give you a blowjob?
I don't want a blowjob from Harrison Ford.
No, but I'm just saying, it's just like anybody could do.
Actually, Harrison Ford, how was that sound?
Oh dear.
It's only taken us 10 minutes and we've completely.
Well, apart from Chris. Well, I know what we'll be watching next week, which will be a whole lot of Christy Mack videos. But this week, we've also been watching other things.
Yeah, and I thought we would take a slight detour from the way we would normally run this show. And we'll actually talk about a few of the films we've seen over the break because we've had such an extended break. But first.
Yes.
We must go visit time and space.
Oh, first of all, I'll give you a bit of this.
I'm watching you, Wazowski. Always watching.
And then we'll go visit time and space.
How long has it been since we've done this
show? A while.
Sloppy.
Sloppy like Christy Mack.
If you want to hear a well-produced show, go listen to Behind the Panels.
Hey, this is good on its own
Which
merits.
Is the same three people, but somehow so much tighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlike Christy Mack.
Hey, look. No, seriously, because I don't think we should make fun of Christy Mack because we all love Lego.
And we all love
boobs.
Porn stars.
Yeah, we all love porn stars. So she is like basically should be and you goddess.
I am looking at this woman in this picture and I am saying she is a geek goddess.
She is. She's one of us.
She's one of us. She's awesome looking. And I'm sure she's
so
very...
So she's definitely not one of us.
And I'm sure she is very good at her profession.
Look, I think we're going to find that out.
You just got a new 5D Mark III, Dave, so we can shoot.
So I can shoot pictures of you getting the blowjob from Christy Mack.
But I'm not going to build a Lego that good.
You never know.
When there's incentives.
Total loss.
When there's incentives like that, you might. Suddenly builds like the Sistine Chapel.
It's like the greatest Lego of all time. You know?
Why did you make this? I wanted a blowjob.
All of a sudden there's a line of chicks waiting to give me a blowjob. And it's like, oh, we love Lego.
And those who are tuning in to actually hear a movie show, I'm sorry.
The Lego movie is coming out.
The Lego movie is coming out.
No, but these are legitimate movies.
Well, yeah, absolutely, and I love a good dose of porn. Let's not get this wrong. But I think, I mean, we've talked many times about doing a porn show.
We have talked about doing it. When we talked about doing it, we always said that, you know, we'll do it as though we're talking about high art.
Yeah, absolutely,
and,
very clinical.
I mean, you know, there is some very high art.
Like Dr. Oz or something.
Dr. Oz. Yeah, but we'll use like, you know, clinical terms.
Proper names for positions.
You know, yeah. the
Prophylactics.
She has moved into the reverse cowgirl number two position, you know. I reckon we should do this. If you want to see us doing a porn actually show or something.
Well, what we thought, yeah. how about if we get enough feedback from you guys, so feedback at geekmovieclub.com, and we'll do a pilot. And we'll put out the Geek Movie feed on the super feed and just see what happens.
See what happens. And, you know, if with any luck, we might get an interview with Christy Mack.
That would be awesome.
That would be fantastic. How would that interview go? Would it be something like, you know, when you were being reamed?
What were you thinking about?
What was your motivation? You know?
The funny thing is, if you follow porn stars on Twitter, which I have.
How much Lego can you fit in
they're
there?
They're actually very normal people when you follow them on Twitter. It's like, yeah, had a rough day today, kind of tired, need a drink. You know?
No, like, I mean, the thing is...
Doesn't it take like 3 hours to film like a 20-minute porno?
Probably.
Like,
I think
Behind the Panels we talked about fluffer, didn't we?
Richard was one for a while. That's how you guys met, right?
Yeah, that's right. We met in a fluff house. Behind the Panels is episode 85. The thing is, according to, you know, the internet, YouPorn tells me there's not a single woman under 30 that hasn't done porn at some stage, because I don't think I've seen the same face twice.
And we could actually do all the different genres of porn.
So I don't think I've seen the same face cummed on twice.
We could do 3D porn. We got
your 3D.
We got 3D TV.
We
now
can sit around as a family eating popcorn and watching.
We could, interviewing porn stars as well.
I really liked. I think that'd be interesting. I think it'd be a show that would do well straight out of the gate.
I've always been hesitant to do a
porn show.
I think it would
get
a lot of hits.
Yeah. I don't think we've done a show that people have beat off to before.
Do you know what?
I think we have, man.
I honestly think,
you read those emails on panels?
That's true.
Yeah, can I tell you, I honestly think if we're going to do a porn show, I think we need a female co-host.
To legitimize the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right. I'll
feelers out there, people. If you think you've got what it takes to be on radio,
going up to a that's right. So we're doing podcasts. You want to join? Yeah. Would you like to watch porn with us and then talk about it?
But you have to be naked. No. That's not really appropriate. We're doing a
vodcast. Yeah. But to be fair, we'd all have to be naked as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sidebar. Here's an anecdote for you. Julie Walters. And I always love the old sidebars. Julie Walters, who started Educating Rita.
We should have a sidebar theme.
Julie Walters, who started Educating Rita, did a film called The Girl in the Pink Pajamas, much after Educating Rita. And apparently there was a shower scene in it where she had to take her clothes off. And she went to the director and said, you do realize that there are new equity guidelines. And if the female star is going to have to appear naked on set, all of the crew also have to be naked, because that way it's a more comfortable environment for them and blah, blah, blah. And she convinced them all. She actually gave them a phone number to call Equity, and Equity confirmed that this was the case and the whole bit. And so the entire crew got naked and they filmed the scene. And later she admitted that the phone number was for a friend and the whole thing was
Nice. Now, behind.
I'm going to try that.
Behind the scenes, we had some technical difficulty. Have we actually gotten into the what we've been watching section yet?
I have no idea.
No.
Let's do it again, just in case.
I'm going to hit this button again.
I'm watching you, Wazowski. Always watching.
For the audience, you don't know, there was actually a break in transmission there. Yeah. So we had to.
We got so excited about Christy Mack. We all went off at a 5-minute break. In some cases, it was a 1-minute break.
So we're back.
I just got that. It took me ages.
And as I said, just in case we don't have this on the recording already, we're going to be taking a slightly detoured look at this week's GMC because we're going to be looking at a few movies that we watched over the break, because we were broken for a long time. We're going to talk about three or four things over the course of the holiday period. First, before you jump into time and space, just talk very quickly, because we didn't do it on panels.
Uh-huh.
So very quickly and say that Arrow came back.
Yes. Arrow came back strong,
and the last episode, which you haven't seen yet, so I'm not going to spoil anything, has a real what-the-fuck moment at the end, so that's really good.
I would say I don't get the American seasons at all, because they came back after, like, 4 weeks off, and I think it's the case with both, like, it's been with everything, with, like, The Simpsons, it's been with S.H.I.E.L.D., and they came back for 2 weeks, now they're taking another 2 weeks off. It's like... Mm. Why? Like,
it's called milking the season for as much as they can.
Doesn't NBC call it like year-long seasons?
Yeah, what it is bullshit, quite frankly. And it's just the studios basically milking it out as far as they could. They never used to do that. It used to be two blocks.
Do you reckon there's someone out there that actually was like waiting for those 3 weeks, like for Sean Saves the World? You know, one of those shows.
Oh, I'm sure there are. Yeah. There's probably somebody going, Last Man Standing. Back.
When the hell am I going to see Tim Allen again?
somebody out there was actually waiting for the Kirsty show. Right?
Oh, it's amazing.
The other thing we talk about is S.H.I.E.L.D. really quickly and say that it's okay.
it's had a marginal improvement. I think the last episode that was on, I can't remember when that was kind of fun.
That was last week. It was the one with finding out more about Sky's background.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
That wasn't bad. That was actually not a bad
idea. Have they picked S.H.I.E.L.D. up for a second year yet? Do you know?
Oh, I'm sure they have.
ABC, Disney owns it lock, stock and barrel, so they have a vested interest in keeping it going. Ooh, sure. But they've just announced that Lady Sif is going to make a cameo.
Oh, I can't
so
wait for
Jamie
that.
Alexander will try and boost those ratings.
Any chance to see Jamie Alexander clad in armor? You know,
or unclad.
We're back to Christy Mack again. All right, so let's take a trip down through time and space.
Okay, why not? With a brand new theme this week. It's time for me to get back into the TARDIS. I think when we last did this show, which was probably about 6 years ago, it was probably close to a month ago, I was not far into the Tom Baker Fourth Doctor
era. I think you just started Tom Baker, actually.
Yeah. I am now one episode away from the end of the Tom Baker era. That's 7 years worth of episodes. I think I've watched almost 600 episodes of Doctor Who at this stage since August. This is that new theme that we just play, because normally I play the old theme. Jonathan Nathan Turner, who is either loved or hated, but usually hated in the Whovian community, took over the show as executive producer in that period. So this is kind of like, you know, now you've got Stephen Moffat taking over Russell the Davies and stuff like that. So you've got Jonathan Nathan Turner, who's literally just kind of changed the format of the show. It took on a darker edge. It became very 80s. Tom Baker's outfit changed. From, you know, his typical grey coat and multicoloured scarf to an all maroon sort of reddish scarf kind of thing. He still had the scarf and still had the hat and the coat. It was all different. They brought in, they still had Romana for the most of that season, but then they brought in a younger set of companions, including the much-hated Adric. Mm-hmm. Who Adric is the weirdest character, because it's kind of like someone, he was just apparently just an office boy. Like, he was just working there and they brought him in. And he, it's like watching him walk on set. It's like someone has described to him what walking is without having ever actually seen it himself and said, now go do it. Cause he sort of bobs around on set. Like, he's just learning how to walk for the first time. He's just a terrible actor. And they brought him in and a bunch of other young people. That's when you end up getting Nyssa and Teague in the Australian Air Hostess. By the end of that,
I remember her.
To kind of transition into the next season when Peter Davison took over.
Which is when I stopped watching.
Yeah, and it's kind of, you know, but this season brought back the Master, and it brought back, had this whole theme of entropy. So it took on a much darker edge. And in this particular year, Tom Baker was really sick. And nobody knew why. And he's had this sickness and he's kept getting thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner. And he looks terribly haggard throughout this season. So it's really quite sad that was his last year. So then we get Peter Davison and the show. A lot of people say the show never really properly recovered.
Well, it didn't, because it was the beginning of the end at that point. They went through a lot of doctors very quickly.
And as beloved as Peter Davison is, his stories weren't very good.
No.
Colin Baker's weren't. And Sylvester McCoy was misguided until the last season of him, when the stories actually got really,
well,
really
and a
good.
Lot of people like Sylvester McCoy, but the general consensus is it was too little too late.
But his last few stories, like Ghostlight, for example, are quite good, so I'll look forward to getting up to those. But, you know, it's just kind of taken a sad turn at this point now. So I'm kind of on the, but I've got less than, I think, 200 episodes to go, and we're talking about serials here, and then and that's including the new Who as well. So right. I've got less than 200 to go. So I'm going pretty well, old guns. But I did take a sidebar, speaking of sidebars.
Sidebar, we need a sidebar theme.
Sidebar theme. Because during 1981, they had the second Christmas special. The first Christmas special was during a very long Dalek episode. It was the Feast of St. Stephen, back in the William Hartnell years. They had a Christmas special. And that was just him turning to camera going, and Merry Christmas to all of you as well. This year they actually did Jonathan Nathan Turner did a spin-off called K-9 and Company. And look up the theme on YouTube, people, because it has to be seen to believe. It involves Sarah Jane sipping some Chardonnay and wearing and wearing leg warmers to the tune of this. Goes on like that, yeah. So, look, it's fun. It's a completely different tone. It didn't go beyond that first episode, A Girl's Best Friend, which went for 50 minutes.
We were robbed, man.
We were robbed of one of the greatest shows of our time. unfortunately, it never went on, but we did have Doctor Who. But years later, we got the Sarah Jane Adventures, which did have K-9 in it. And Sarah Jane, it was basically that show in a lot of ways. It was Sarah Jane and two younger people and K-9 having adventures. So,
true. And yeah, I mean, we must say that was actually probably the last K-9 appearance was in the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Yes.
And for a lot of the series, he was actually stuck in a portal.
Yeah.
They didn't want to bring him out because...
They had, I don't know what it was like with the new K-9, but K-9 in the original series, he was very popular, but they got rid of him. And that was one of the Jonathan Nathan Turner things because it didn't work and they couldn't take him outdoors very well and all those sorts of things. And he slowed the story down because Tom Baker said he hated him because he had to stop and get down and talk to him every time. Mm-hmm. Instead of stop, and Tom Baker liked to move around, you know, and ad-lib. And
yet it was such a popular guy. I remember when I was a kid, K-9 was just, I thought he was awesome.
Yes, mistress.
I remember when seeing K-9 again in Doctor Who.
Oh, that was great.
When we make the reappearance of Sarah Jane and she's got K-9 in the car, but he doesn't work anymore and the doctor fixes him.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just so cool.
I was at a supernova a couple of years ago and there was a guy dressed as 10th Doctor.
With a remote control K-9?
No, somebody else had the remote control K-9 and it broke down and the doctor runs over and starts looking at it. It was great. I loved it. It was just one of those great moments in Comic-Cons. But what else have we been watching? We've been watching a lot of movies.
We went to a few films over the last few weeks, and I think we should talk about probably the first one off the rank was The
Hobbit.
The best
one.
Yeah, it was
I thought we were talking about Jack Ryan.
No, let's take these in order, people. So okay. In order was The Hobbit came out over Christmas, and considering the film actually episode 100 was the last Hobbit movie, I think we should probably talk about that. Here's a little bit of a trailer just to get us started. We won't play the whole thing, of course.
Because the whole trailer goes for 4 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
I found my courage.
We'll play just a little bit of this. We'll come back and we'll talk about what we thought of The Hobbit.
Truly, the tales and songs fall utterly short of your enormity, O Smaug. The stupendous.
We are the dwarves of Erebor. We have come to reclaim our homeland.
I offer you my help.
How do we know it won't betray us? We don't.
All right, so that's from the trailer of The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, as they say it.
Smaug.
So I always said smog, but never mind.
Smaug.
I really enjoy. No, I'm gonna save Richard for last. I'm gonna save Richard for last of this because
he's the Jack Ryan of this.
I really enjoyed this film. I actually liked the first one a lot, and
same.
And I think that this was better in many ways. I think that there was a lot more keystones from the book in this. I think it's a glorious film to look at. I think it's just beautiful. I did not see it in the 48 frames. I have no interest in seeing it in the 48 frames. My new TV set can be clocked up to being like motion sped up.
Like fake.
And it makes it kind of looks like that. And I hate that. And I turn all those features off. So I have no interest in seeing it in 48 frames. But the 3D was very good. I think there's a couple of invented characters. Sure, not a problem. But I actually really enjoyed this. And Longo. Actually, let's bookend this. Richard is the sandwich in the middle.
Okay, yeah. Everyone knows what I think of him.
You know, I mean, if you go back and listen to 100, I didn't film actually 100. I wasn't a big fan of the first one. I'd sort of gone off the Lord of the Rings films by Return of the King, which I think was the weakest of the three.
Agreed.
I really wasn't looking forward to The Hobbit going in, admittedly, because I thought it's a 260-page book. We don't need a nine-hour film out of this. You know, I know they've added in a lot of extra things, but I still maintain that there is a lot of wasted space in this film. And I do think they spend a lot of time because I was talking to a friend yesterday who said that when, you know, at the end, and spoilers for a film that's been out for a few weeks now, people, when Smaug sort of flies out at the end and heading off to destroy a town, and then it cuts to black and, you know, to be continued kind of thing. Apparently in his session there was an audible groan from the audience, like a collective groan. It was like, oh, fuck, we've got another 3 hours of this. And that's basically my problem with this. They could have cut an hour and a half out of that film and given us the conclusion in this film. And I know, and I think it's effectively, thinking about this afterwards, my problem with the film is this. In and of itself, they're not bad films. They're magnificent to look at. The special effects are amazing. The cast is pretty much spot on. It looks great. Tonally, they're exactly like the Lord of the Rings films, which is my problem. Because the Hobbit is a very different book, very different in tone. And Jackson has tried very hard to make this so much like those films that he's actually kind of cut the guts out of what I liked about The Hobbit, which was a short, fun adventure. And made it into this long, epic thing that, frankly, I think just goes on too long. They've sandwiched in. They've got one female character in there, which, you know, there's none in the book, right? But of course, the one female character that they do put in there ends up having a love story with the best looking dwarf, and it's kind of like it just smacked of kind of, you know, being forced in sideways. You know, it just felt a little wrong to me. That said. The stuff with Smaug is amazing, and it looks at the barrel sequence is great. I love that. I think more set pieces like that in shorter, faster form would have made a much better film for me. And because to me, that's the spirit of The Hobbit. Just this fun, rollicking adventure. And I thought, oh, there's another bloody spider, and there's another. You know, I just felt like he was going out of his way to hit all. It was kind of like the greatest hits of Lord of the Rings. In Hobbit form, and that's what it felt like to me. And I was one of the people who audibly groaned at the end of that film because I thought, wow, I almost nodded off during all that Smaug stuff because it just went on forever for me. And I thought that as impressive as that was, Peter Jackson was more impressed with that scene than I was because he wanted to linger there. But that was me. I'm not saying it was terrible. I actually thought this was a vast improvement on what I thought of the first one. But still, at 6 hours now, I feel as though the story should be done. So,
David Longo.
Look, like I'm kind of a Peter Jackson apologist, almost. Mm. I just need Peter
Jackson.
You like
King Kong, didn't you?
I loved King Kong, man. Yeah, dude, I like the lovely bones.
I'll let you finish yourself off. I'm just going to go into the other room.
I did not like the lovely bones.
I didn't think it was amazing, but... Go back and
listen to film, actually, for The Lovely Bones. I did not like The Lovely Bones.
To me, his last good film was The Feebles.
Mr. Return of the King is the worst of the three. Yeah. Woo! You know,
isn't that the one where Legolas... Sorry to interrupt. Isn't that the one where Legolas, like, surfs on an elephant?
No, that was The Hobbit too, man.
No, okay. He's right. It was Return of the King. Yeah. Problem I like Return of the King.
Look, I just want to finish. I won't be long, man. I promise. Like, I just want.
Unlike Peter Jackson. Sorry.
Hey, man, I'm gonna win that Lego. I tell you. I know. I like Peter Jackson. I like Middle Earth. I go there when I watch these movies, and that's all I need.
And I think that's great. And I think you're. The
I love them.
You're. I mean, the thing that's what he's done. He's created this Middle Earth, which is. An authentic Middle Earth, and he's created something that people love, and he's created a set of films that are consistent with the previous films that he's made, and I think that's great. But to me, story wise, I just can't connect anymore.
Yeah, and
that's my thing.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not blind. Like, I see a lot of issues in the movie. I think that they are a bit too long.
Yeah,
I think that the additional material is not necessarily needed.
However,
I just want to reserve my judgment on. These elements until I see the third film.
Yeah.
However, I was about to say, yeah. I'm so invested in his world. I love that world so much that I don't care that it's three. It could be 4 hours long. I don't care. In fact, I already bought the extended cut of The Hobbit.
It's funny you should mention that.
Yeah, so did I. I loved it too.
To me, this is already a 9-hour film where they didn't fit in everything that they wanted to put in. And to me, that's just bad storytelling. You know, if you can't,
or there's just so much you just want to put more in.
But if you can't fit a 260 page book into 9 hours,
but it's not
hours,
a 250 page book anymore because he's adding so much stuff into
he
there.
Didn't have to.
But it doesn't matter because I love that world so much. I want to revisit that world.
But having said that, I might change my tune. I might this time at the end of the year when the third one comes out, I'm going to watch the extended cuts of the first two back to back and then go straight into the third one so I can feel as though I'm watching it as a complete piece. And then I will judge it again based
And like the ending where Small comes out and it cuts to black, I didn't groan at all because I know it's the middle child of a trilogy. I know it's to be continued.
Yeah.
It's like I knew it was going to end.
That's it. I'm going to be far more frustrated by something like Catching Fire, which to me had a non-ending. As much as I love that film, it to me had a non-ending.
Nothing at all.
Just to bring it into a third film, which they've split into a fourth film. So it's not a problem exclusive to Peter Jackson.
Yeah, no, it's a very common thing. But I mean, the thing about the Lord of the Rings films and now the Hobbit films, the one thing I do applaud Peter Jackson for is he says, I'm making a trilogy. Mm. He makes a true trilogy. Yeah, it's not three films that are somehow linked together to make a trilogy. It is one film split into three pieces.
Yes, you know? It's volumes.
And it's volumes. Yeah. And you have to have all three films to make a complete
film. There is a controversial aspect to it when you take into account the adaptation process, because the Hobbit, I believe personally, I'm not going to speak for everybody else, but I think if it was translated directly to the screen, it wouldn't work. I firmly believe that it would be episodic in nature.
The same as Lord of the Rings, for that matter.
No, not at all. Because Lord of the Rings has a full.
Lord of the Rings has a bit better narrative.
But if you translate it as written, there'd be a lot of stuff in there that'd be like all those songs and all that sort of stuff.
Well, they're in there, but I'm not saying it'd be a horrible movie. I just don't think it would be as good as.
Also,
it is.
I look at it this way and I go,
you would have like a 30-second sequence where they're in the
back. I also look at it this way and say that The Hobbit was written, 30 years before, 20 years before.
Prior to the development of
Lord of the Rings.
Well, he was developing that stuff at the time, and he wrote that based on him. And then he himself went back and added in the Gollum chapter, which is still the best scene in the first
film. Absolutely.
But this is precisely why I didn't want to speak for you guys and for everybody else listening, because like I just believe that personally.
Yeah,
and I love The Hobbit book. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I've read the Tolkien stories and I've read The Silmarillion, and you know, like, if you did The Silmarillion, what are you going to make, a documentary?
They brought in elements of Silmarillion, like the whole necromancy.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the Seeing Stones, and you know, like.
But that's kind of my point. If they made The Hobbit, the Hobbit to me is tonally different to Lord of the Rings, and he's made a film that's tonally consistent with those films, which I have to tip my hat slightly for. But then I have to, you know, in the words of Stephen Colbert, also wag the finger because he's made a film tonally consistent with something that The Hobbit's not. So I'm kind of caught on that level. So I kind of agree with what I said before, but also with you. I totally see your point. But
and
to
I also read an interview with Peter Jackson recently where he actually said this is his last taste of the Lord of the Rings.
It's the final state.
He basically said there is no more Lord of the Rings after this because nobody's going to make the Cimmerillion. Right,
no, you can't. There's another book.
No, you can't.
You can't make the
Cimmerillion. So, but basically, what he said was, he said he's taken the aspects and elements of the Cimmerillion that are relevant to what he needs. He's put those into the Hobbit, and basically said, "This is the last Lord of the Rings. This is it. We're done." You know what I mean? So he said, "If this is going to be my last time in Middle Earth, then we might as well throw in everything, you know, and have a dance on."
And also, like, the one thing that a lot of analysis of these films that they forget to bring up is the complex nature of bringing this kind of film to reality.
Well, it was considered for a very long time. Lord of the Rings was considered unfilmable.
But exactly, it is monumental in what they're doing, and he's gonna fuck up every now.
This
and
is
then.
The wrong show to worry about your language.
I just forgot. I'm so used to trying to keep it. It's a really difficult thing to adapt something in, especially the process of filmmaking, is that we're not talking about something that's written in a day and then put on screen in a day and you get instant reaction. Mm-hmm. We're talking about something that they've deliberated on for what is like essentially a decade. You know, how do we do this? How do we accomplish this? How do we put everything together? Mm. How do we please the fans? How do we please the film critics? It's like over periods of months and months and months, and we know for a fact that it happened because The Hobbit was originally directed by Del Toro, and then it went through another change where there was
he readapted it back to his own.
It was two films at one stage, then it went to three films when they were halfway through shooting. It's like this is clearly a work in progress, and so were the original trilogy. And I think there is an element of luck, and there is an element of misstep. There's the whole computer generated aspect of the movie that complicates things. Like, when you're dealing with dwarves that can't be in the same room as Ian McKellen and, you know, it's so, like, as a film, to come from a filmmaking background.
Writer, though. I will not be in the same room as a dwarf.
Yeah, but they couldn't do it the same way as Lord of the Rings. Yeah. It's in the extended edition, the behind the scenes, the wonderful behind the scenes stuff, where, like, Ian McKellen couldn't be in the same room as those dwarves because they were shooting in 3D. They couldn't do forced perspective.
Yeah.
And it's like, when you take into account, like, the monumental aspects of this film production, you end up being a little bit more lenient
I will add that in, though, that from a technical point of view, I think these are masterpieces.
Yeah, you said that.
I think.
All right, so let's round this up. Out of five, how many hobbits are you giving this, Richard?
out of five, I'll probably give this...
Tell me one.
Three and a half, maybe.
And Longo?
I'm going to give it a 4.5, maybe even a 5, because I will apologize for the mistakes in it.
I'm actually going to give it a 4.5, but I'm also going to put a caveat to that and say I have the ability to raise that mark once the third film
comes out. Yes, exactly.
I agree with you on that.
Because I think once we have all three, it's the same thing somebody has said to me once.
I'll come down heavier. I'll give it 3.5 because I'd give the first one 3.
Okay, somebody said to me once, what's one of your favorite, what are your favorite films? And I actually said, I was listing my favorite top 10 films, which of course changes every month, so it's a stupid question. But at the time I said Lord of the Rings. I said, which one? I said, no.
Lord it of the is Rings, one film. Yeah.
You can't, now that they're all out and now it is a complete trilogy, it is one film.
Yeah.
And I can't break it into three separate films because you need each one of those films to make a
whole
film.
When I say that Return of the King is the weakest of the trilogy, I think it's the weakest by itself, but as a complete set. Yes,
you did.
That's by no means saying Return of the King's bad.
The problem I had with Return of the King.
Whereas Fellowship of the Ring could stand alone by itself.
Absolutely. You could except it has no ending. That's the only problem because it kind of drifts off into a
I think it has some kind of ending.
It has them wandering off the Mordor. The problem I had with Return of the King.
The little ones. Sorry.
the problem I had with Return of the King was not the film as a whole. I really enjoyed Return of the King. The problem I had with Return of the King was the ending. It just felt like he couldn't quite figure out a conclusion.
Yeah, this is what I want to bring up as well, because that's another issue, is that we've all read the book. We know they're coming.
Yeah.
So, like, when I watched Return of the King, it's like, well, they got to do this. Why didn't they do the Taming of the Shire is my response.
Well, exactly. I could have watched another 20 minutes.
And so I knew all those endings were coming, so I didn't have that reaction. So maybe that's another issue with The Hobbit, is that we know what's coming. So for us, parts of that movie feels like, well, when the hell are we just going to get to this?
All right,
but maybe if you haven't read it, Dave.
If you haven't read it, you're going to
be... You might just be in awe. You might be wrapped.
Absolutely,
you know?
I agree. All right, let's throw 47 Ronin under the bus for a second.
47 minutes of this podcast.
Wow. At 47 minutes.
Woo!
It's actually not 47 minutes because we had a break, remember? But we're going to do this very quickly because David Longo has not seen this. We're going to do this very quickly.
You can blow it for me.
Here's a small portion of the trailer, once again, just so you have an idea of what we're talking about.
Looking for someone who was sold to you. A half-breed banished from our land.
That's quite enough of that. Because, of course, he's a white half-breed who needs to go save the indigenous people. Isn't that terrible? Anyway, Richard, what did you think of 47 Ronin?
47 Ronin is perhaps the most famous story in Japan. It's kind of described as a story of national honor. It's probably one of the most famous stories of honor in Japan. I saw this as a kabuki play when I was last in Japan. And it's probably one of the most important stories if you want to understand the Japanese.
Was he a half-caste?
The film is not that.
In the original 47 Ronin, was he a half-caste?
I'm not quite sure about his character.
Did he have one?
His name was Neo, and he was there to save the
world.
What
was his name in the film?
He's Kai.
Okay,
Kai.
There is. I don't think
Dragon Ball Z Kai.
I don't think. I'm not sure if who. I honestly can't remember his character. I don't know what it was in the. Let's have a look. Let's have a quick look at the Wikipedia entry.
While you're doing that, I'll give you my review of the film, because I haven't seen the original
play. I'll just quickly say, the film, if it had not had Keanu Reeves in it, and it was done in Japanese, could have been good. But the thing is, I don't like it. The dragon creature in it was designed by someone who'd never seen a design of a Japanese dragon.
It looked like a Chinese New Year street dragon.
Yeah, it was clearly done by somebody who had heard about Japan. And thought they kind of knew what stuff looked like there, but had never actually bothered to do their research. The whole thing was just kind of like, it almost was just like, it was insulting. It was insulting to people who like Bushido and Chanbara films and all that kind of stuff. So I thought that the film had its moments, but it was pretty terrible for most.
At $175 million budget, I was hoping for a lot more. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, the budget, according to Wikipedia, is $175 million.
Yeah.
And it took 37 domestically.
Ouch.
It took 37. It took like 8 in Japan.
It took 116 worldwide. Yeah, because Japan's already had 47.
Yeah, and they're also, they would have been insulted by this.
Yeah.
It was a mediocre action film with some decent special effects, non-existent 3D, and basically an insulting concept saying that the Japanese require a white man to save them. So
the thing is, and it had an amazing Japanese cast as well. It had Tadanobu Asano in it, who we know from Thor, the Dark Lord.
Oh, yes.
We had Rinko Kikuchi in there, who we know from the Wolverine.
Yeah.
And many other films.
And
both
Pac Rim, right?
And Pac Rim, yes, yeah. That's right. It had so many. It had Hiroyuki Sanada in there as the leader of the Ronin. We had so many great Japanese actors. And then Keanu Reeves. It was just an insult to even make this film, I think. And like, even if it had been good, which it isn't, it would have still been an insult.
Out of 5 samurai swords, how many times did you give it?
5 samurai swords, I would probably give it 2 and a hilt for a half, because I think some of the stuff was kind of cool. Like some of the sword play was kind of cool, but most of it wasn't.
I'm giving it 2.
Okay.
I really was not overly whelmed by it, and I don't think people should waste their money at the cinema. And I will say, it could be your curiosity to watch on Blu-ray just for some of the special effects.
Okay.
That's that.
So what else have we been watching? We all had a boys' night this week.
We had a boys' night this week, and we went to see Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit. And once again, here's a small portion of that trailer, so have a listen to this.
This quarterback, I have a situation. Somebody tried to kill me.
And that's enough of that.
That is literally the most exciting that film gets.
And ironically, the first 5 minutes of the film.
Yeah. This is probably the worst film about banking transactions I've seen.
It is like a banking corporate movie.
We're going to talk about Wolf of Wall Street next week, which Dave and I have seen, but David hasn't yet.
I'm going to watch it this week.
We're going to go and see that this week, and then we'll talk about it.
We've seen everything, really. But pretty much, except 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah. Which comes out this week in Australia.
Which I don't want to see.
It just looks like
homework.
someone did like honest posters, and it's like one for Wolf of Wall Street was douche porn, and the one for
wasn't it Scarface for Dummies or something?
Another one was American Hustle was just Jennifer Lawrence, and the one for 12 Years a Slave was 2 Hours of Shame.
I think it looks good. 12 Years a Slave.
I think it's going to be a magnificent film, and I think it's going to make me cry and everything else. But the thing is, it looks like homework, and I just don't know if
I saw a trailer for it yesterday when I went and saw
and
her.
It made you cry
when I went and saw her, and I just like, wow, that's just, yeah, that's
Inside Llewyn Davis. That's the movie.
Yeah, do you know what
I
it
still
is?
Haven't seen it. Really need to see.
I think 12 Years a Slave may be a film that I have to wait for Blu-ray just so that I can pause it and walk away from it for a little while.
It's like I keep saying with Schindler's List. It's kind of one of those movies where I never go, hey, you know what I haven't seen in a while? Yeah. Let's bang on Schindler's List.
When you only get to see a couple of films, a week or a film a week or whatever it is, sometimes you just want to have fun.
I made a conscious effort this year to, because in previous years I had seen literally hundreds of films, and I don't mean literally in this. Actually, that was a story I actually heard this week, that the term literally has now been changed in some dictionaries.
Oxford Dictionary has officially changed the definition
of literally to mean like,
ambiguous.
When people go, like, ambiguous, like, when you say, I'm literally dying.
Yeah, it's now right. So how they've got in the Oxford Dictionary, they've got different definitions by number. They've added another number now. So literally now has a definition added to it, which is ambiguous, which means that if you say, I'm literally dying laughing, you're right.
The English language is literally dying.
They're literally killing.
That's assuming there was ever a golden age of the English language, But
it was called pre the internet.
Yeah, but I literally would see hundreds of films a year, and that's not ambiguous. I would see about 300 plus films a year. I made a conscious effort in the last.
I remember
year and a bit.
Seeing you once at the Sydney Film Festival,
and I just come out of my 30
watched 30 something films. Yeah,
plus I was seeing regular screenings. Plus I was doing interviews during that time. I almost killed myself.
You're
I actually
yeah.
proper Paulie had a breakdown at the end of that.
I watched like two or three a week, and I felt
that's kind of when film actually and everything just shut down at the end of it all.
But that having said that, I this year I'm trying not to watch films that I don't need to see. I do need to see 12 Years a Slave, but I'm not rushing to see it.
As I say, I think for me it's going to be a Blu-ray. I want it in best possible quality, put it in the 5.1 sound, everything else, but I think I need to watch it at home because I think I need to be able to walk away from it every now and again.
Okay, but quickly, Jack Ryan, because we're running out of
time. Oh, Jack Ryan.
I did not like this film. I kind of wanted to like it because I like Chris Pine. He was the best thing in it. Keira Knightley, what the fuck?
What was with her accent to start with?
Yeah, exactly. It was just weird American accent.
How dumb her character was.
Her character was dumb and useless. There was a point where she was sitting on a plane. Actually, my favorite scene in the film, major spoilers, people, but they're trying to work out which building...
major spoilers.
Yeah, which building? Oh god, who was the villain?
Kenneth Branagh was going to bomb.
And then she says, "Look, wait, what's that building there? That's the one you work in, Jack." It's like she had to remember the building that Jack works in to. Fuck! Vivi was just dumb.
I also love the fact that they seem to have solved the crime just because they worked out his social security number.
Yeah, like the whole thing was... It's like one of those movies, like, you know, during, you know, the 90s, whenever there was like, hey, why don't you hack into that thing? Sure. Yeah. You know, the whole movie was like, it was the equivalent of that, you know?
Agreed. Yeah. The social security...
I'll go really quick, Dave, because I thought it was crap.
Okay, good. Yeah. I thought there's a scene
funny,
the same scene on the plane, spoilers, where he goes, that's his social security number. That's it. Yes, no, I think you aptly summed it up at the very beginning when you said this was a film, but the most thrilling film about investment banking.
No, I said it was the worst film about investment banking.
Investment banking we've ever seen.
Because Wolf of Wall Street was a good film about investment banking.
So this was a spy thriller that was more about bank accounts than it was about anything that went boom. And I love it. There are shots in this film where they're walking dramatically away from a building, and you sit there and go, it's going to explode, it's going to explode. And it's like, the next shot is a computer screen with numbers going across it. You go, what?
How about the editing? Can we talk about that?
The editing was shocking. It was like the opening shot of this film is a shot of the Thames River with the London Eye, Big Ben, every landmark you could possibly see, and then it comes up with a super and goes, London.
And then the next one is like 10 years later, it's like you see the Statue of Liberty, New York City. It's like, it assumed you were dumb. But the editing is so weird. I actually, because I went out to the bathroom halfway through this film, what came back and went into the wrong cinema, which was also playing Jack Ryan. So I'm there looking for you guys.
You time shifted about half an hour.
I time shifted about half because I was ahead, and I came back and said, a chase is coming up eventually. And which we were all relieved by because we knew some action would happen. But like, I was like, there was like car, wall, street, wall, car, wall, street. That's basically the editing for this film. It's kind of like things that we were pointing the camera at that particular moment.
I loved how you brought up how the movie felt you were dumb. And I loved how the way they communicated it was like Kevin Costner, the head of the CIA, was dumb. Yeah. And he would always need things explained. Do you remember the scene where Chris Pine goes on for like 5 minutes about the economic situation and Kevin Costner goes, what do you mean? Like, say it in English.
Yeah.
And he's like, I remember it so clearly, we're going to have a second Great Depression.
Yeah, that's right. Give it to me in a pull quote.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's not an exaggeration.
No, but to be fair, that's most bosses.
True.
You know?
Now, I think this is actually based on the character Jack Ryan by Tom Clancy, not any one of the particular books. And that was probably one of the biggest missteps of them all. Mm-hmm. If you're going to base it on Clancy, base it on one of his stories. What's the point?
Wasn't that the one, there was Sum of All Fears, isn't that the one where he came out as gay? No, I'm thinking of the Sum of Us. Sorry.
Are you thinking
and had Russell Crowe in
you're
it, right?
You're thinking of the Bourne Ultimatum, right?
Right.
All right. Out of bank account numbers, how many? Out of five bank account numbers, how many are you giving it?
I give this two digits.
Two digits.
I give it the Dow Jones.
I'm giving it a one.
I'm giving it negative gearing.
Negative gearing.
Since it's Australia Day, we'll give it the Australian review, right? Oh, it's pretty good on the weekend, man. Get a few beers together, have a good time.
Oh,
mate.
Yeah, it's all right.
No,
yeah.
I'm doing it. It's fucking shit, mate.
Yeah, okay. Mate. Nah, it's all right. Get a few fucking ales in you, mate.
Hey, look, you know, while you mentioned it is Australia Day, so...
Playing the castle at the fucking cinema?
So, yeah, we're all wrapped in Australian flags and giant...
With my American flag on the counter.
We've actually got an American flag.
I'm naked except for mine.
Mind you, the holiday is tomorrow, so we could do something Australian then.
So Jack Ryan, avoid. Mm-hmm. Yes, by all means.
Go and see The Sum of Us instead. with Jack Thompson and Russell Crowe.
You could do that.
That's an Australian film.
Did I tell you, by the way, that I finally watched The Great Gatsby? I can't remember if I mentioned
Speaking
this
of Australian films.
Speaking of Australian films. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, my God. That was one of the worst pieces of crap I've ever
Let's get out of here so we can talk about that.
let me just say this one time. It's been a long time since I've seen a film where a bunch of actors sit there and talk at each other.
Yeah.
There is no connection between any character in this. They just talk at each other for 2.5 hours.
I've never seen so many scenes of a guy reaching out to a light.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my God. Out of swimming pools, I give it a 0.
I give it one half full glass of champagne because I would have liked to have had some during the film.
Is that what they gave you at the press screening?
No, we didn't get anything.
They should have made you drunk before this one. Do you know what? It makes Australia look good.
I remember the premiere here, it rained, right?
Can we let you in on a secret, people? When we GC media screenings, when we get served alcohol in advance, we know the film's going to be shit.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Actually, I saw that in Melbourne.
We saw it here, and they had beer and wine, and a fellow reviewer of ours, which I will remain nameless, you know him very well, drank a lot of beers beforehand, and even took some in with him.
I saw the 10 a.m. screening. I didn't get any of these
drinks. Not you. the other one. and he regretted it because he had to pee after the film. But yeah, he got himself quite merrily drunk beforehand.
That's such a good film though.
It was such
I'm kind of looking for, I'm a little bit going a bit of trepidation with Dawn.
It's a different director now, so that's what worries me a little bit.
I think they're going to stuff it up.
We'll talk more about this next week though, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's time to get out of here.
If we do a show next week.
Conclusion to an email we had to read?
Oh no, I kind of actually mentioned the guts of that, which was Jeffrey Witham in the previous one. He was just talking about he liked the show as well, and that I don't have the email in front
Doesn't
of
matter.
Me anymore.
Doesn't matter. We're out of time anyway.
Go and see Behind the Panels, episode 85.
And we read most of his email, and we are very grateful for him. And
If
you want to leave us feedback, it's feedback@geekmovieclub.com. Or you can go to the Geek Actually Facebook page. You can leave us comments there. Or you can go to the Geek Movie Club iTunes page and leave feedback there and hopefully push that up.
God, we're everywhere, aren't we?
We are everywhere. You can't not see us.
I think we did actually have some feedback.
For a show that's only had 6 episodes, it's not bad. while he's looking at feedback, where can people find more of you, David Longo?
Building Lego. and on Twitter, @DaveLongo, DanBookCup.com.
Richard?
You can find me building Lego with David. apart from that,
can we share the blowjob if we win?
So, does that mean we get half a blowjob each, or does that mean we get?
But that would be no fun.
No, but I mean, is that?
Or do we have to deity change?
She hasn't thought this out well.
Yeah, what about team builders?
Do we have to daisy chain this shit?
This was built by 20 guys.
You can find me at geekactually.com or on Twitter @DavidMcVeigh. I think we got to get out of here.
You can find me on Twitter @DavidEbits, and that's it.
There you go. And I think we're going out with a reprise of that amazing theme song today. Richard, ready please, Mr. Music.
I'm ready.
Go.